as you well know, is an exceptionally diverse place. In an area about the size of 5% of the state of Nevada, Hawaii has fostered more than 9,000 endemic species. And while we know something about the biodiversity of Hawaii, this question still holds some mystery. Why are there so many species on Hawaii? It's been explained to me, those of you who have been to Hawaii may also have heard this, that there are fairies that live there, and their psychic energy may actually be influencing how quickly molecular processes are moving on the islands. But I think there may be some other explanations. Now, these islands have been used as a model for studying evolution. And because they have arisen from a volcanic hotspot in the middle of the ocean, when they emerge from the ocean floor, they're sterile. They're a blank slate. And they've arisen in chronological order, in a linear fashion. So with each island arising, it's presented new possibilities for colonization and isolation. The islands are quite young, just 500,000 to 5 million years old, and their ages are fairly well understood. And this gives us an opportunity to study how quickly evolution can work and what the rates of the processes are. Hawaii is the most recent product of the Emperor Seamount. This is a chain of islands that extends to an area from an area north of Japan up here, all the way down to the current high islands of Hawaii. All these islands here are submerged or nearly submerged, so the only islands that are above sea level are those of the current Hawaiian archipelago. While these islands are submerged, they may have been the source of colonists that have arrived on the current high islands of Hawaii. The idea here is that as the island of Kauai, about 5 million years old, became inhabitable, organisms from those older islands may have invaded Kauai. They would have had about 1.5 million years to diversify and specialize, and then they would have moved down the chain onto Oahu and on down. If we sample from these islands in the current day, we would get a cladogram that looks something like this. The specimens from Kauai, the oldest island, would be at the base of this model. Those are the oldest species. Those from the youngest island would be at the top, the youngest species. And then there would be some with intermediate relationships, such that this one from Kauai would have been one of the colonizing organisms that colonized Oahu. This one from Oahu would have been a colonizer of Maui, or the descendant. There are about a dozen lineages of Hawaiian arthropods that have been studied using molecular phylogenetics, and these are a few examples. The concept of single island endemicity here is an interesting one because it allows us to think about how old these lineages are. If a species is, if it occurs on only one island, can be assumed to be the product of a speciation event that happened on that island. And so the maximum age of that species is the age of that island. And that can allow us to put dates onto trees. One group that hasn't received much attention in Hawaii is the order Cecoptera, the bark louse. This is actually the second bark louse talk of the day. I think that may be a record for ESA. These are hemipteroid insects. They're most closely related to thrips, to parasitic lice, and true bugs. There are about 5,000 species described worldwide. There are probably many more undescribed. Within Hawaii, there are two endemic genera, with just a few species described in each. And one genus that's native, that's Ticta. Here is a Ticta immature and an adult from Hawaii. There are 61 species of Ticta described from Hawaii, and about 170 worldwide. The center of the genus, the center of diversity of the genus is in the Pacific Islands. Previous to when I began collecting for this study, there were about 2,000 specimens of Ticta in museum collections. And these were from the six main islands of the archipelago. In order to really maximize the diversity in my own samples, I wanted to get to as many localities as possible. I was able to collect from about 45 additional localities to those that had been collected before, and I got about 7,000 additional specimens. So I have now about 9,000 specimens to work with. I'm using these in a taxonomic revision of the Hawaiian Ticta. So far, my morphological data indicate that there are probably 2 to 3 times more specimens or species of ticta in Hawaii than are currently described. So there are about 60 described currently. I'm thinking there are about 150 to 200. I'm using this morphological data also in phylogenetic reconstruction. Today I'll present to you some molecular data from the genes 12S, a mitochondrial gene, and the nuclear gene wingless. I'm sequencing additional genes as well, listed here. And for outgroups, I'm using ticta from outside Hawaii and species from closely related genera. Here is a large tree that includes the two genes, mitochondrial gene 12S and the nuclear gene wingless. I'll zoom in on these two clades in a minute to show you the branch supports. This is hot off the presses, and so above the line we have a parsimony bootstrap value. Below each line there is a Bayesian posterior probability value, which isn't really a bootstrap, but we know that, right? So what we see here is that there are two clades that are consistently recovered within these molecular phylogenies. One is from the Young Islands exclusively, so the Big Island of Hawaii, and this complex of islands, Maui, Molokai, and Lanai, which were once connected to each other and are collectively known as Maui Nui. So this Young Island clade is entirely from this group of islands. There's another clade, the widespread clade, which has representatives from all of the islands that were sampled. These arrows point to branches that are relatively long and support these two clades with reasonable support. And these two branches are of similar lengths, indicating that they may have pretty similar divergence times. In an ultrametric tree constructed of these data, the branches also were very similar in length. I'll zoom in on the Young Island clade. Here, I see that there's essentially no support for that stepping stone model that I presented earlier. In fact, if anything, it seems that this clade originated on the Big Island of Hawaii, the youngest of the islands, and radiated from there. And those specimens from the oldest islands in this group actually are in the most derived relationships within this clade, which is an interesting and unexpected result. Here I have Molokai coated with red and yellow, and Lanai coated with red and pink. In the widespread clade, there's a similar result. The relationships of the taxa at the base is ambiguous, but there are representatives from the youngest islands there. And again, those from the oldest island of Kauai seem to be in the most derived relationship. Looking at this sort of data and considering dates, I haven't been able to put dates on these trees yet. I've tested the data. I can use a molecular clock on these data, but I'm not quite sure where to put what nodes to date. But I have found that these data don't seem to conform to a stepping stone pattern. Using these data, I can ask how quickly these species arise. And to do this, I just take the number of endemic species on each island and divide by the age of that island. Now, because evolution works as a reticulate process, building species trees rather than linear successions of species, the way to deal with that is to use the natural log of the species number, then divide by the age of the island. Comparing ticta to other lineages on Hawaii, I found that ticta likely have a quite rapid rate of speciation. Now the reason is that here with Drosophila, it's a really big group, but we use the age of the oldest island to calculate this rate because those are believed to have originated on the oldest island, which is 5 million years old. Whereas for Hylaeus bees and ticta, if the origin is on the youngest island, then the age that we use to calculate the rate of speciation is much shorter, much younger. So I have two numbers here. One indicates a lineage that is the single lineage, a single invasion, and the other for two invasions. Okay. In conclusion, I found that in addressing the question of why there are so many species in Hawaii, it seems that these particular insects don't follow the stepping stone pattern. That can't really explain their diversification. And in fact, they may be the result of two independent radiations, possibly two independent colonization events. Both clades seem to be quite young, may have even originated on the youngest of the islands. I'd like to acknowledge these individuals and funding agencies for helping me out with my work, and I'd like to thank y'all for being here.
Other questions?
I don't really know that yet, but it seems as though previous studies have shown that they've considered Maui Nui to be one island. And I think that might not be what's going on here. Again, I haven't put dates on this on these trees yet, but it seems as though in this young island clade, there is a group from Lanai and a separate group from Maui. I wasn't able to cram all of the numbers onto this tree. This branch actually does have fairly strong support from both parsimony and Bayesian analyses. So if that's the case, then it seems as though those islands are acting independently.
Mm-hmm. Emily, do you have a feel for the origins of the founders of Ticta Sabbaths?
The founders of Ticta on Hawaii, it's likely that they are Pacific. My best outgroup sampling at this point is from Fiji, and those seem to be relatively close to those on Hawaii. But I just need to increase my outgroup sampling. In fact, the two groups, the Young Island group and the Widespread group, in different analyses, actually split up with Fiji specimens in between them. And so having wider outgroup sampling, I'll be able to address that question of the origin of the colonizers, as well as the relationship between the Young Island and the other clade. Thanks, everybody.